is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Oh, won't you tell him about it tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel like something's about to break out. Hallelujah. Praise God, the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. If you'd like, you can turn in your scripture, Acts chapter 2. I'll let you remain seated tonight. I'm just going to read one short verse, Acts chapter 2. Wow, that was powerful tonight, choir. Felt the Lord stirring in my heart as you sang. Amen. If you didn't get a bulletin, there's a lot of things happening this week. Prayer meeting 10 o'clock Tuesday. Ladies are leaving at 5. This is their ministry Tuesday of the month. Women of Purpose meeting. And then board meeting at 7. And Wednesday at 7:30 is our family worship night. Amen. That's not a second-tier service. That's a main service of the week. I would encourage you to come for Bible study and worship. Then Friday at 6:30 is youth night, and Saturday at 6 is Sidewalk Sunday School. We have several candidates of water baptism, and next Sunday evening we'll have a water baptism. Looking forward. This thing is real, this difference that Jesus makes in the life. We that's the only thing we have. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. Contrary to what some people believe, it's not a particular patch or a potion in a bottle that make the major difference in your life. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who can make the difference that we need to make. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? I'm stuck too in tradition. I'll be lost the whole sermon if we don't do it that way. Thank you. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The emphasis I want to look at is that they were all in one accord in one place. And though it would be tempting to speak of unity, that's not really what I'm seeing here. I've told you before, but you know, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And one man said the accurate interpretation of that is Jesus is saying, if two or three will ever get together about anything, I'll show up to see it for myself. And so that would be a good place to talk about unity, but I don't want to talk about unity. What I want to ask is, why were they there? They were in one place. Why were they there? I got even a greater question. We're going to see tonight they were there for some time. Why did they stay there that long? Why were they there? And there's only one answer. And the answer is they were hungry. Why would you ask people at the restaurant, "Well, why are you here for?" It don't make sense. Going to McDonald's after church tonight and people are standing in line. Why would you walk up to them and say, "What are you here for?" They're hungry. We could ask these that were gathered there one accord in one place, "Why are you here? Why have you stayed here for this period of time?" The answer is they were hungry. And I want to talk tonight simply on this thought, what hunger will do. What hunger will do. And I'm not going to go into the analogy of hunger. I just want to see some things from these people here that I just read about. Amen. Could we pray together? Father, we are hungry for the manifest glory of your presence. For the unadulterated manifestation of who you are in our midst. We need you, God. Oh, God, take away the static. Take away the clutter. Take away the fog. Lord, and help us to see you clearly. God, to hunger and thirst after righteousness that we might be filled. God, thank you for your presence tonight. May you be in the sharing of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I have joined others. I believe there are others throughout the church who are praying for a sweeping move of the Holy Spirit, just a supernatural moving, undeniably a touch of the Holy Ghost. I believe I'm joining young people, others throughout the church, and in praying for that. But in one evening a while back, two things came together that inspired this message in my heart. First of all, I had just been reading about these stately churches in the United Kingdom. You know, the ones you're used to seeing on Discovery Channel or something, the ones with the towers and the spirals, and just when architecture was at its height, these beautiful churches. And the sad thing is, many of those churches, the congregation got so small, they could no longer sustain themselves as a church. But being a historical building, an effort was made not to tear them down, and so they turned them into other things. Some have been turned into hotels. Some have been turned into pubs where people used to worship. They're, whatever you call it, drawing drafts of beer, whatever. Some have been turned into homes. Some of them have been turned into worse places. One was turned into a thrift store. Some have been turned into mosque. Some have been turned into Sikh temples. And I don't know how you feel about that, but that really saddened me. And I was particularly saddened by that because I can't explain this. I mean, I'm not someone that's real invested or interested in architecture, but for about a year now, have you ever driven around Cincinnati and noticed all these spirals and steeples of churches everywhere? I've been sad. I don't know if you know, but some of them have been converted to other uses. And I'll be driving across the country and even places down on Union Road and see these old churches. And I've told Sandra, I said, you know, the thing is, when they built that church, those people were on fire for God. They were enthusiastic about God. They were hungry for God. And you know, there's only one reason those churches are done. I know there's some demographic issues where people move out to the suburbs and those type of things. But I want you to know, in the end analysis, most of those churches have been converted into something else for this one reason. People lost their hunger for God. Amen? And the second thing which came together was I was talking to someone, and they made this statement. We were talking about a move of God somewhere, and it was a very honest statement, and I appreciate it. But the statement was, you know, I don't particularly agree with those folks, but I can't deny that they've been seeking God in the altar, and God has been moving mightily amongst them, even though I don't particularly agree. And I made the statement that I've made many times. You've heard me make it, and I'll make it one more time tonight. I have found in history, in the Bible, I have found from my own experience that God always moves where people are hungry. He doesn't care the name on the church. He doesn't care the past tradition of the church. He's going to move where folks are hungry. Churches close. I mean, I'm sad. I'm thinking about different churches. Churches are closing. The buildings are dilapidated. All of that because people have lost their hunger. But it doesn't have to be. In 2015, God still moves where folks are hungry for His presence. Hallelujah. I've got to move on, but I think many, many times of that gift in the Spirit that operated at Camp Dove one year. And the interpretation was simply God speaking to us and saying, there is nothing like my presence. Oh, hallelujah. How many who have experienced His presence can say tonight, there is nothing like His presence. I am hungry for a move of God. Hallelujah. That breathes new fire into our hearts. I want you to notice these folks I read about in the, we call it the upper room. We're not sure. They were meeting for prayer in the same place where they were staying, but wherever it was, these folks that were gathered there, first of all, they were hungry. They were hungry. You see, there was 120 there, but that was not the religious crowd. That was the hungry crowd. I want you to know there is a difference between the religious crowd and the hungry crowd. The religious crowd and the hungry crowd. The spiritually hungry crowd. The 120 were spiritually hungry. That's what they were doing there. The religious crowd might show up for a singing. The religious crowd might show up for a special performance. The religious crowd might even show up for a Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, it's a hungry crowd that shows up for a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. They were spiritually hungry. You can say, well, I know why they were there. It's not just they were hungry. It's that Jesus commanded them to stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit came. And that is accurate. In chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Here's the promise of the Father. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus said, tarry there, wait there, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And yes, they were there because Jesus commanded that. But I'm telling you, they didn't have to obey his command. The reason they obeyed his command is because they were hungry for what he promised was coming. Their hunger was based on his promise that he would send the Spirit. You know, here's the thing that I think is interesting about the hunger of the 120. Did you know that not one of those 120 had ever seen anybody baptized in the Holy Ghost? Not one of them had ever seen a person speak in tongues. Not a one of them had ever seen an old-fashioned revival. Not one of them had seen an outpour of the Holy Spirit. Their hunger wasn't based on experience. Their hunger was based on the promise of Jesus. He said, I will send my Spirit. And when they heard that promise, something responded and they said, that's what I want. I'm hungry for what he has promised. Amen. I've heard so many times and I understand what folks are saying. But they'll say of your generation, these young people there, they'll say, well, how can they be hungry for revival? They've never seen the revivals that we've seen. How can they be hungry for a move of God? They've never seen the outpours that we've seen. And you've had this summer, you've seen a lot. But, you know, they'll say, folks will say that, well, they've never seen what we've seen, that kind of comparison. I want to tell you, this 120 had never seen it either. Oh, but they had a promise. Jesus said, I have something for you. They said, Lord, we want what you have for us. I'm telling you, that's what hunger is. Jesus, I want what you have for me. Hallelujah. They were just hungry for what Jesus said he would give them. Amen. In verse 3 of chapter 1, it said, here, I just want to do some numbers with you here. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And he spoke to them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 40 days. That means after that important feast they had just been through, Passover and the Feast of Weeks, for 40 days after Jesus resurrected, he talked with those disciples. He spoke to them about the kingdom. Why is that important? Well, let's go to our text tonight. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. If we were on Wednesday night Bible study, I might pause to let one of you answer. But what does Pentecost mean? Well, it was a feast day that came after that Feast of Weeks, Passover and Feast of Weeks. Well, what does Penta mean? It means 5 or 50. And so Pentecost was the feast 50 days after this other feast that we were talking about, the Feast of Weeks. 50 days. Do the math. He was with them for 40 days. And then he was taken up and ascended to the Father. And as he was taken up, he said, go tarry and wait for my promise. 40 days he was with them. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit was poured out. It takes easy math to take 50 and subtract 40, and it leaves what? It leaves 10. That's how we get it. For 10 days,
nights they tarried. For 10 days they prayed. For 10 days they waited. For 10 days they looked up for the promise of God. Why did they stay there that long? Why didn't they quit on the 6th or the 7th or the 8th or the 9th? Why did they stay 10 days? They stayed because they were hungry for what he said he would give them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why they obeyed. They were hungry. Nobody was forcing them to stay. Amen. There was no Roman guard around the circumference of that building and said, nobody's leaving here. Even Peter and the other apostles, they didn't stand at the door with a gun or a sword and say, nobody leaving here till we get what Jesus has promised. No, it wasn't out external coercion. They were there because of an inner hunger. We want what Jesus had. I did hear down in South America, one pastor, he called the people to prayer, and then he'd lock the doors and station board members at the door and said, nobody's leaving here until we touch God. I don't know if it could work that way. Amen. It's against the fire code, I know. Amen. But nobody was forcing them. There was an internal hunger driving them. Amen. We have too much in the church realm trying to move folks with external things. Amen. This hunger doesn't start with an external thing. This move of God doesn't come from an external pressure. It comes because God's people feel a hunger within. We want what he has promised that he would give us. Acts chapter 1 verse 13. They were come in. They went into the upper room and they all contended with one accord. Verse 14. In prayer, in supplication, they only prayed nothing else. I said they only prayed nothing else. There was no seminar. There was no entertainment of the evening. There was no Christian comedian. There was no booked singing group. There was no like a cruise. It wasn't a buffet laid out. And every time you got a little bit physically hungry, you bellied up to the buffet again and filled your. It wasn't like a cruise with the special entertainment and the good food. Amen. And something else about it. If you read this, they were away from home. This wasn't even their home city. And yet they stayed there and they tarried there doing nothing but praying. I mean, we're living in a time you've got to have an illusionist. You've got to have a special singer. You've got to have a movie star that's converted to get people to come out. They had none of that. There was only one thing on the agenda. It was pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Why were they praying? They had a hunger. I know it's 2015, but you won't improve on it. There's no other way. There's no substitute. If we see what God has promised, it'll come from prayer. Prayer at home. Prayer in a personal time. Prayer in the prayer rooms. Prayer in the altars. They were praying because they were hungry for what he had promised. They wanted the Spirit to move. I have found that this was a common thing in Pentecostal worship and praying. They weren't doing it as an exercise in and of itself. They were doing it with a goal in mind. We came to the altar with a goal in mind. We're going to pray until we've touched heaven. Amen. Those that were baptized in the Holy Ghost, they came to the altar every service with the goal in mind. I'm going to pray until I speak in tongues again. Amen. They pray, they worship, not just as an exercise, I've looked at them, but they worshiped with a goal of mine. We want to see the Lord move. We're hungry for his moving. So they were hungry. They were hungry for that which could not be found in the world around them. That's why they were holed up in a room. They weren't out in the streets looking. They weren't going to the Colosseum. Amen. They weren't hungry for anything in the world around them. Look in verse 2 of chapter 2. When this promise came, there came a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. You see why they were hungry? They knew that nothing out in the world could satisfy their hunger within. They were waiting for something they had never found out in the world. they had never found in the life in the streets. They had never found it on the outside. They were waiting for something that came from another direction. Everybody there wanted nothing but something from heaven. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Spirit. They were looking for something from heaven. Oh, why? They recognized nothing around them in the world could ever satisfy their hearts. Amen. You don't have to preach this to the world anymore. You can preach it to a big bulk of the church, because I believe the biggest indictment against Christians is they say Jesus is the answer and they go seeking for something else outside the doors of the church. I'm telling you, these folks recognize what they wanted, what they needed was not out there. That's why they turned their hearts to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows what we need, what will satisfy, is only going to come from one source. That's heaven. And they looked to heaven. And guess what? It came from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Or how many's hungry for what comes from heaven? What comes from heaven? Hallelujah. That's why they were in one accord. They wanted the same thing. I know there's a few in every church. There's a few in every church service that's hungering for the same thing. But I'm telling you, something wonderful happens when everybody in one accord gets hungry at the same time. They were hungry because they realized they needed Jesus. Jesus had left. I want to tell you something. However we say it, hear this tonight. To be hungry for the Holy Spirit is to be hungry for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit, Sister Norvell, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will be to you everything that I was when I was with you. I want you to think about what I just said. Jesus said, I'm going away. I've got this body, I assumed, to be man. And I'm going away. I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. But when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to be to you, my disciples, what I was to you when I walked with you. To be hungry for the Holy Spirit is to be hungry for Jesus. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe on not on me. Of righteousness, listen, because you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Amen. And what did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me, Jesus said. And he will take that which belongs to me, and he will make it known unto you. I'm telling you, a hunger for the moving of the Spirit is a hunger for Jesus in your life. Oh, how many needs Jesus? You need his words. You need his thoughts. Hallelujah. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to notice of these folks that they were people just like us. They gathered for 10 days, but they had things to do. I told you they were away from their home. Businesses were languishing. Things at home needed taken care of. People needed to be seen. They had jobs to be concerned about. Is my job still going to be there when I get back to Galilee? They had families maybe still in Galilee to take care of. They had sicknesses. They had taxes to pay. They had chores to do. They were people just like us. Oh, but they hungered after God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he still moves wherever folks are hungry? They needed the Spirit. And I could preach all night, but I'll preach for about 20 seconds on this. They realized they needed the Spirit because, number one, the world in which they lived was evil. That world had just killed their Savior, did it not? That world was evil. It was dark. They needed the Holy Spirit to make it through this world. We sang tonight, I'm going through through. But I realize if I get through, I get through because I allow the Spirit to empower me, encourage me, strengthen me. And number two, they knew they needed the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. Let people know the only way of salvation. They realized what was ahead of them. 120. They got the whole world in front of them. They got different languages, different places. And they realized they needed the power to preach this gospel. But Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Listen, I saw it happen personally, and I'm not going to tell that story tonight, but it's not unlikely that one of these young people gets so full of the Holy Ghost, they go to a public school, begin to witness, and before long the pews fill up with young girls and boys that get saved. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. How many believes in that power? They were hungry for that. I told you I wouldn't tell the story, but that only happened after just a few of us began to skip lunch at school. Instead of eating, we went to pray. God began to save people right in a public school. Amen. Then they were hungry and they were filled. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound. We usually read this on high octane because it's wonderful, but there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them clothed in tongues. I got to stop just briefly talk about this clothed in tongues. Fire came from heaven, a ball of fire. Cloven means it's separated into individual flames. Here's a ball of fire, and it... And when that ball of fire that came from heaven separated into individual flames, that meant an individual flame appeared over each of those 120. Why? Because, yes, God sent it upon a waiting church, but we really get it when it's individualized. You've seen it happen. You can tell God's moving in the house. But you can tell, too, when that begins to cleave, if I could say the word. And all of a sudden, from that moving, there's a flame. There's a flame. How many seen that? Right in a church service, right in an altar service. I mean, God's moving. His presence is there. Over here. Over there. That's when the flame begins to cleave. Amen. There appeared in them clothed in tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was something all of a sudden that was amongst them that had not been there the second before. Now, I'm not going to get into the theology of this. The Holy Spirit's come. He's here. God's everywhere. His presence. I'm talking about the manifestation of His presence. Have you been there? It might have seemed like a service as usual, but all of a sudden there's something there that wasn't there a second before. That's what happened. He filled the place. The cloven tongue set upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice he filled the place, and then he filled the individual people. That's what church is about. When we get together, he comes amongst us. But he always fills the place. That's not the end of his goal. He fills the place to fill the people. They were hungry. And that's what he did. They were filled. I like that word filled. That means overflowing. Room for nothing else. And by the way, they were all filled. We don't exhaust the resources of God. How many knows there's enough for every individual? Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I hadn't counted tonight, but there's probably about the same number here tonight that was in the upper room, maybe a little more, I don't know. But I'm telling you, he could fill this place tonight with his presence. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No heart needs to be overlooked or bypassed. They were hungry. This is the last thing I want to share with you. They were hungry, they were filled, and something supernatural happened all around them. You know, the story doesn't end when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they begin to speak with other tongues. The Bible said people begin to run to that place. You know,
I can't read this, and we don't have all the details. I can't read this without believing that it spilled out, not just the sound, but the people spilled out of that room. I know folks thought we was crazy. We was having a revival once when I was a kid. Joey Hyatt was preaching it, but all of a sudden he took out the doors playing his sax, and we went around the parking lot. Yeah, I see folks driving by. I just feel like they got so full of God, it just kind of spilled out. Oh, I need to go ahead. I'm thinking of time. We used to have convocation at the city auditorium in the Osho, and next door there was a real nominal church. You know, don't even begin to worship expressively or emotionally. And one new student from California, he got so excited, he ran around inside the city auditorium for a while. They were having church next door in a nominal church, and he just ran outside, ran into their church, and ran around. I'd like to have a picture of their. But it's hard to believe that they were just so full of God, they spilled out of where they were. But the Bible said, whether it was just the noise or the people coming out of that room, that the crowd gathered around. Now, they were all there, people from different places around, that they were there for those feasts that they were having in Jerusalem. And the thing that struck them, they said, these are hillbilly Galileans. And they're speaking classical languages of our home tongues. They're speaking in our own tongues. And listen, it's hard for me being a teacher not to pause sometimes on these things. I hear over and over from non-Pentecostals that God gave them tongues to preach the gospel. But you read the account tonight. When they were speaking in tongues, they never preached the gospel. They spoke of the wonderful works of God. In other words, they were praising God. The gospel was never preached till Peter stood up and preached it in Greek, the language all of them knew. He never preached the gospel in tongues. These groups don't want to believe in tongues except as a miracle of God to preach the gospel to somebody whose language you don't understand. And so God gives you this special gift to preach in their language to share the gospel. That's not what happened there. They were speaking in tongues, worship to God, and people gathered around and said, "We hear these folks. They're speaking our language. I mean, they cannot know my language. I know they don't know my language, but they're speaking it and speaking it without an accent. God was doing that. That was a supernatural thing. I mean, it's going to be supernatural." I mean, if all of a sudden, I mean, I could pick anyone, but if all of a sudden Brother Rick Cruz stands up and starts speaking perfect Chinese and we have a Chinese visitor and they say, he's speaking Chinese, I can tell you what he's saying. Wouldn't you say that's supernatural? Maybe not. Maybe you know Chinese. I don't know. And, you know, they couldn't come up with any other explanation. And so the crowd said, what does this mean? You know, that's important. They didn't say what's going on. They said, what does this mean? And others said, well, I'll tell you what, these folks are drunk. I want to make a clear statement here. When the Holy Spirit moves, we express ourselves being humans in many different ways. We may run, we may shout, we may do many things. We may be so overwhelmed with this presence, we may fall down and not be able to rise up. But never think that these folks were acting silly like drunk people do, acting silly or in any way improper. And so the folks looked at the things they were doing and said, well, they must be drunk. They're acting so silly and ignorant and all that. No mistake. The reason they thought they were drunk is because they were trying to come up with an explanation how they were speaking their language. That's what the drunk is about. Now it's time to preach the gospel. And Peter stood up. Speaking their language they could understand. He said, I want to get something straight. You ought to know better thinking these folks are drunk. The taverns aren't even open yet. City ordinance. The pubs aren't even open. The liquor stores aren't even open yet this time of morning. Oh, hallelujah. Some people think the Holy Ghost can only move it at night service, but it was the morning. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. He never denied that they were under the influence of something. He just said they're not under the influence of what you think they're under. He said, but I want to tell you what you are seeing. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon your handmaidens and servants, I will pour out of my spirit in those days. Hallelujah. But what I want you to see is something supernatural is happening. You've got a city full of people. They're religious. They're self-righteous. They're disinterested. They're worldly. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit fell on that group of 120 that were hungry, something supernatural began to happen beyond the boundaries of the 120. And as Peter began to preach, the same Holy Spirit that filled the believer convicted the unbeliever. And suddenly they could take it no more. I mean, Peter's preaching about the coming of the Lord. He's preaching about the end times. And then he said, I want to tell you what just happened in Jerusalem. God sent Jesus, a holy and a pure man. But you came and you took him with wicked hands, you crucified him, you killed him, and they put him in a tomb. But on the third day, God has raised him from the dead. It was you who killed. I mean, he's a preaching away, and suddenly they couldn't take it anymore, and they cried out, what shall we do? What shall we do, Peter? What shall we do? He said, I'll tell you what to do. Amen. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, and ye shall be saved, and ye shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, something supernatural begin to happen beyond the boundaries of that gathering. I'm telling you, there's some folks hungry for that. Yes, you want to see God move within the walls of the church and move at a youth camp or this and that. But you're hungry for such a move of God. It goes beyond the boundaries of the church. The backslider, the unbeliever, those without God's lives are drawn and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Moving of the Spirit moved folks to come. It moved Peter to preach to them. It convicted the hearers, and people were saying, would you come, music? I thought of homes that have snack bars. Have you ever watched young kids? You know, kids get hungry in a hurry. Have you ever watched young kids when mom starts cooking? If they're very hungry, they start smelling the cooking, hear the clattering of the pots and pans. They'll pull up a chair to the snack bar that overlooks the kitchen, and they watch mama cook. You know they're hungry. I think every service ought to be like that. Oh, hallelujah. We know the promises of God. Amen. We've just pulled our chairs up to the snack bar, so to speak. We're just waiting for what God is going to give us. Oh, every service, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Peter said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes. There's a time it's not good to be a babe, but there's one good way to be a babe. And that is you just keep desiring the sincere milk of the Word that you can grow there. I'm talking about a hunger. I'm talking about a hunger and what hunger will do. Amen. What brought those moves of God at camp that you saw? Because it wasn't just the speaker or the youth pastor, the pastor. You young people, you got hungry. You just got hungry. You heard the Word preached and you saw and you got hungry. And God did not disappoint you. When you got hungry, I guarantee I could ask a minute, but every one of them that really got hungry, they received of the Lord. Amen. This is not a condemnatory message or any of that. None of that. I'm just talking about what hunger will do. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and we were reminiscing. And I hope this doesn't mean we're getting old, you know, talking about the past. But, you know, we were talking about remembering. And I know it's still that way with so many, but as a whole, we were talking about the way it was on a Sunday afternoon. Think about that. Sunday afternoon, you couldn't hardly wait to get back to church on Sunday night to see what God was going to do. Who was He going to save? Who was He going to deliver? You never knew. That's the thing about Pentecostal churches. You never knew how it was going to transpire. You never knew how far in the service you'd get. You never knew how it was going to begin. You never knew. You were just hungry for God to do something. How many knows exactly what I'm talking about? Just couldn't hardly wait. You know, this is real odd, and I don't mean to talk by myself. I hadn't even had this in my mind until half a second ago. And I guess it's because God was stirring my heart at an early age, you know, for ministry and things. And I can't explain this because nobody said anything. But I remember pointedly as God began to move. And I'm talking about when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I don't know where it came from. But I began to feel as God moved in the church, I began to feel this belief that before long, people out there in the neighborhood were going to start feeling the presence of God. And all of a sudden, our back doors were right off the sanctuary, right in the middle. All of a sudden, they were going to be coming through the doors and coming to the altar just because God reached out beyond the church and began to deal with them and pull them in. You know, that's not an impossibility. I remember, and I can't remember how many years ago, 10, 15 years ago here, Sunday morning, God's Spirit was moving. And if I'm not mistaken, we were singing a song about the blood. I'm pretty sure that we was. We were singing. God's Spirit was moving in the house. All of a sudden, I noticed a man come in, and he sat about where Brother Richie is tonight, where we were standing, actually. He stood there for a while. We kept on singing. God's Spirit was moving. We was worshiping God. And all of a sudden, he came out of that pew, and he came down to the steps right here, began to call out to God, and got saved. He talked to me later, and I shared that night. He said he was just passing through the country. He was headed somewhere. He wasn't even from this area. He said, but as I went by the church, he said, I felt something draw me. He said, I had to turn around. Hadn't been to church. I don't know how. He said, I had to turn around, come in the parking lot. He said, when I walked in, I felt God pull me. Hallelujah. I'm hungry for that, not for sensation shape, because nothing else out there matters. Nothing else out there satisfies. Nothing else out there gets done what needs to be done other than the moving of the Holy Spirit. And coming to church, never knowing what God, but it's the hunger that makes the difference. It's the hunger that makes the difference. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I shouldn't have got started. Amen. Our church wasn't near this large. But I remember when some of the young people got hungry. We had two rooms, bathrooms in the middle and the room on each side. We began to meet in that church, that room on the back of the church right back there. Began to seek. I can't tell you how many times the Spirit of the Lord began to move. It come time to start church, we'd come out. Young people speaking in tongues, worshiping God. Oh, I remember the time in Sunday school. Hey, man, we'd been up late like young people are on Sunday night, you know, way past 12, whatever, being a little sleepy. I remember in Sunday school, the Spirit of the Lord began to move. One of the teenagers speak out in a message in tongues, and there'd be an interpretation from another young people. It spilled out of the Sunday school class into the auditorium. God began to move. Oh, hallelujah, isn't he a great God? His Spirit knows no boundaries. Hallelujah. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to see the Lord move. I'm hungry to see God move. You know, Satan wants to get our attention on our problems and this and that and all that. That'll weigh you down in a hurry. Some of you can't hardly get past your schedule this week, and I'm not minimizing it. It's rough. You got a rough schedule. Amen. That's a hunger killer. But I'm telling you, you can go next week with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm hungry. Would you stand? This is what hunger will do. Amen. God moved in response. Amen. I don't know everything about the providences of God, but I kind of believe if that 120 had have given up, said this isn't worth it and went home, I doubt the Holy Spirit. I know God's sovereign. We preached on that this morning. But I doubt at that moment he would have poured out his Spirit to an empty room. No, sir. It's because they were hungry and they waited. Amen. That's the altar call tonight. You're hungry for spiritual reality. You're hungry for the Holy Spirit. You're hungry for God in your life. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. But if you're hungry, I want to invite you to come and find a place to pray. Could you do that across the building? You just come and say, I'm hungry. You know, sometimes I pray, Lord, I'm not hungry, but help me to be hungry. Help me to be hungry. Help me to be desirous. I know I ought to be God. Help me, Lord, to be hungry. Oh, let's seek him tonight. Let's pray with a goal. Let's pray with a go. Lord, I want to see your promise tonight. I want to see you move in my life tonight. I want to receive from you. Let's pray with a go. Maybe you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I want to pray until the Spirit prays through me again tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I am hungry for more.
Hungry.
Hungry for more of you. Like never before, I'm hungry for more of you. Let your manna from heaven
seek him tonight. The goal.
Making me all that you want me to be in everything that I do. I am hungry for more of you.
Lord, if I'm not willing, help me to be willing to be made willing.
Lord, my soul is hungry, thirsty within.
I'm hungry, Lord. Pray with receiving in mind. I want to receive from you, God. I want your promise fulfilled in my life.